Hello and welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on Saturday's heroic draw at Dunfermline, two games to preview this week and one more loanee to discuss.
Yes, this is the Blue Team Podcast once again. I am Colin Byers and with me as ever, Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are we this week?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Colin. How are you?
Not too bad. Yes, we're certainly getting the autumnal weather coming in now. I'm blowing a hoolie here, as you said earlier on.
When I'm blowing a phone, are you heating? I'm going to afford it.
Certainly when we need that, too quick. Right, let's go on to Saturday's game then. 2-2 draw. Esther being 2-0 down with about 5 minutes to go. And I think a 2-2 draw, a point, was something that we thoroughly deserved if it was all said and done.
Yeah, I don't think many people would have given us a chance. Even being 2-0 down, brilliant character for the boys to come back, been quite easy 2-0 down, just to sort of think, well, that's a game done, we're well beaten, and just sort of, you know, try and shop up and then, you know, just take that 2-0 defeat. But no, credit to the lads, credit to the Jim and Davey as well, that they made the changes. And we've gotten something out of the game which at one point really didn't look likely.
No, it was a battling performance. You know, the elements that we've seen of some of these players, we know that they're up for it. You know, they're always going to give it 110%, to use a cliche. But it was good to see that even at 2-0 down, the heads didn't drop, they didn't throw in the tool. And they felt as though that there was something there for them, even at 2-0 down.
Yeah, that's credit to them. Because obviously, there had to be a reaction to last week's performance against Elgin. I think you'd start to worry, if there was now, you'd start to worry that Jim and Davies may be struggling with the dressing room had they not got a reaction. And to be 2-0 down and to get something for the game, I think that just shows you the passion that the players have got. But it also shows that they've got that quality, that they can turn it on if it needs be. And yeah, I thought the fact that we're 2-0 down, to get anything against Dunfermline away from home is good. But the fact that you've done it when you're 2-0 down, it was brilliant for the boys.
And I felt we frustrated Dunfermline for large parts of the game, especially the first half. You know, we frustrated them, which then also meant that the fans were getting a bit frustrated. I think one point in the first half, Richie only had the one save to make as well. So us being defensively pretty solid, maybe not offering up too much up front, but that defensive unit and the teamwork was frustrating them, and that led to them maybe having a little bit of anxiety about their play.
That's what we've been looking for you know, over the last couple of years. Is when we go away to teams in the division, sometimes I think we're too open and we concede too early. But you know, if you were to sort of describe the away performance in the first half, you frustrate them, you get the crowd on their back, and you know, and then things can go your way. And I think that was one of them performances, especially the first half. As you said, the crowd got on their back. They'd one shot on target. Keeper really didn't have much to do, but you know, it was part of the game plan. I'd imagine if we'd just try and frustrate them and work our way in the game.
And the fact that they've scored a lot of goals at home so far this season, that just obviously adds to the tension. And the longer the game goes at 0-0, the more it actually plays into our hands.
Yeah, like you said, you frustrate them. They haven't scored many at home. And it plays into our hands exactly what you need it. And you'd almost just, apart from conceding the two goals, you'd almost say it's a perfect away performance. You frustrated them, and then you hit them with the singer with the two late goals.
And we mentioned last week, we speculated how he was going to set up. He went with the five at the back, four in midfield, Hefsal up front on his own. And for a good spell, as I said, it looked so solid. It was a good shape, good balance about it. Scullion, Hewitt, Jack Brown and Ryan Dow was in the midfield. Maybe not the starting first midfield four that you were going to play this season. A makeshift for, you would say, but them and everybody else in the team all played well and all dug in when they needed to.
Yeah, I've seen the team lineups on Saturday. I thought, yeah, we're obviously bats against the wall, and it was interesting to see what panned out. I said last week I wasn't overly enamoured by potentially going to Dunfermline and playing a back five, but credit to Jim, he picked a team that, you know, he felt he could get something out of the game. And I think the personnel matched up pretty well. As you say, that midfield is now probably a four that you'd have picked. But they all knew their task. They'd worked on it throughout the week. And I think the fact that we got something for the game was just reward.
And down at half time, but you could have easily gone in. We could have taken the lead with Roundhouse free kick, you know, midway through the first half. And you know, if that one goes in, it really puts the cut amongst the pigeons then, because you know the natives were getting restless by that time anyway. So you know, had we got that one going in, that really would have changed the game completely.
I think had we scored then, as you said, cat amongst the pigeons, Dunfermline didn't score many at home, but had we taken the lead, maybe against the run of play, Dunfermline did a lot of the ball, and obviously didn't work the keeper much, but I think if we'd taken a short lead, yeah, it'd have been an interesting game.
And the fact that we only had two shots at target the whole game and then scored two goals, I mean, if we're going to do that the rest of the season, you know, that's fine. Two shots on target, two goals for the majority of the games the rest of the season, I think we're going to do well.
Hey, you see, if that was in your football manager save, you're away to league leaders and you've conceded two goals late on, the laptop would be thrown. But yeah, it was a really good... It's a smash and grab to an extent, but I think we're worthy of it. You know, with the performance, it was certainly a reaction to the Elgin game. And you know, not many people would have given us a chance away from Dunfermline. We mentioned it last week, it might have been the perfect team to go and play because nobody would have had much hopes on us getting anything from it. And to be 2-0 down to get something from that, I think it's really good to play for the boys.
We seem to just, as I said earlier, we frustrated them, reduced them just to long shots. I think Richie only had the one save to make first half, and even then it wasn't really a save. It was difficult. It was straight at him, I think, at one point. So, you know, everybody digging in, have Salah even playing up front on his own. Not a position he's obviously used to. But everybody defending from the front, and that was another key factor.
Yeah, we've mentioned it before that sometimes we felt we were defending wasn't for the front. The bigger teams will press for the front in terms of your striker will close down the defenders, and that's almost your key point of when you start pressing. And I think at times that hasn't happened this season, but I think we've got a better all-round performance on Saturday. Okay, it wasn't by, you know, a brilliant performance by all means, but it was a performance that you could see where we're headed. There's been a few times we've left Ballinwood this season thinking, how are we actually going? Fit is the actual game plan. And I think on Saturday, Jim's mentioned it before, when he gets his players back and he gets the right players and whatnot, he gets a system that he's happy with, that will look better. And I think Saturday should be the benchmark of, right, you've got a point away from home against the league leaders, but you then now need to go and build on it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's a key factor. You know, we got the win against Kelty a couple of weeks ago. We also try to build on that. We've now got a point against Dunfermline away from home after being 2-0 down. So it's now just about building on that and building the confidence. We've said a few times this season about confidence being a key thing. I think the players have probably mentioned it amongst themselves as well. Confidence is a key thing. So we now know that these performances are there and we're capable. We just now need to build on that and dare I say, even improve on those performances and try and pick up more points and try and pick up more wins as well.
That's probably makes things at the start of the season more frustrating, that we came that sort of performances within that squad that they've just fallen short of it. I think the advantage last week is Jim came out in the press and said to Jordan and said, look, it's unacceptable, it's not good enough. And I think that was the benchmark for the players to sort of take stock and go, yeah, performances this season have really not been good. There's maybe been patches within a game that we've looked okay. But in terms of getting a polished performance and a mere complete 90 minutes, I think Saturday gave us that. Although at 2-0 down, you know, if we'd lost again, you'd probably be questioning. But I still think the performance was decent considering we were formed the week before and going into the game away to the league leaders.
We should look at the goals then. The opening goal from Green. A bit disappointing, I guess, a way to describe it. Having defended so well, it's just basically just like a cross in from the left. and it's never, we haven't really dealt with it properly, and it's fallen to Breen, and he's tucked it in for about 2 or 3 yards, can't really miss for there. But it was just, because we defended so well, we've mentioned a few times with corners and crosses coming in and not dealing with them, that's kind of slipped in there again.
Two things. The first thing is, I'm probably more frustrated. It seems to have come a long way, that ball. It seems to hang in the air for a couple of seconds. I just wonder whether, could a goalkeeper come for it? I don't know. I guess maybe clutching at straws. But you'll maybe tell me otherwise. Is there now a potential handball? Nobody claims for it. But you see when you watch the highlights back, see the way he's taking it due? It's maybe just the angle of the camera. But it seems to fall right into his path as well. I don't know. I'm again, clutching at straws perhaps. But neither of the PRE players appealed for it, so I'm going to assume it's not. But it's come a fair distance. The second team, I can understand, it's a shorter cross, but the first team just seems to hang in the air a wee second, so I just wonder whether our keeper could have came for it, or you know, maybe McDonald getting a better position to get a header on it. But yeah, taking on away, it's fallen, Brendan's fallen to his feet, and he's managed to put it away for, as you said, a couple of yards.
I wouldn't like to try and speculate for that, what is deemed to be a handball these days, because you look at different games and referees seem to have different kind of understandings of it, so probably not even worth claiming for anyway. So go 1-0 down, straight for the kickoff. It could have been 2. They win the ball straight for the kickoff and nearly test. Richie was a fairly comfortable save for him. But having going 1-0 down and then to almost go 2-0 down straight away would have been absolutely criminal.
I think if we'd conceded the second, you know, really quickly after, I think that would have been curtains for, I think our confidence would have just been absolutely shattered. But again, we spoke this season about needing them little breaks, and that adds probably a moment that, you know, sort of went into our favour.
Yeah, you know, Todorov, we mentioned his name last week about being a potential man to watch. He got another goal, made it 2-0. Again, across from the left, our right, their left, and it wasn't dealt with at the back post. I think we mentioned it last week, if not the week before, certainly the left-hand side of our defence seems to be a key factor for us at the moment, and that seems to be where a lot of the goals that we're conceding is coming from. Dixon was off by that time. He was off injured. Cody McLeod was in there, so I wonder if maybe the communication between him and Andy McDonald maybe wasn't the best, because Todorov had a lot of space. He just got in between the two of them for a pretty easy finish for him.
I think the communication between, obviously, McLeod's now there, but I think McDonald's got to do more to help him out. Obviously, it was a big area that Todorov scored for, but I think at that point in the game, it would have been quite easy for the Heaths to drop it 2-0 down, but, you know, thankfully, things turned into our favour.
But 2-0 then, as you said, vast majority of players thought the game was going to be over, but no, we stuck in. Jason Brown gets us one back. Credit to Jim here, I think, as well, because he's changed it. He's decided, well, we're going to go for it. He's thrown Jason up front, it's worked. It's a tactic he's used many times in Jason's time at the club, and it seems to work. Not necessarily all the time, but he does seem to pop up with a goal noon again. And it certainly worked this time around. And that got, as I said earlier on, it got us back into the game, and with plenty of time on our hands as well, it just made it for a little bit of a nervy last few minutes for the home side.
Sure, at times Jason thinks he's a centre forward, so anyway, he goes in for some of the challenges and everything. But like you said, it's a tactic that has worked before. But again, go back to that. It would have been easy 2-0 down, just say, sorry, cut your loss and think, like, we'll just get out and get up the road, although it's a defeat. But credit to Jim, as you rightly pointed out, he's put Jason Brown up top, and we've got our reward for it. We've gotten something out of the game. And to be fair, it's a good finish for him, because he's got that instinct to try and, you know, follow up the ball rather than just admiring it and, you know, what's happened before. I think there was a goalkeeper plus two defenders. He's been the one that's gotten in there quickest. So, no, credit to him.
Yeah, there was six bodies in the box at that time as well. So, as we said before, I mean, it could have easily just, well, that's game over.
Yeah.
Throwing six bodies in just to try and get something out of the game. So, as I said, Jim should be applauded for trying to get someone out of the game or seeing that there's a potential for getting someone out of the game.
Yeah, we've maybe been, maybe slightly too harsh with certain things this season, but I think going by the majority of the comments on social media, sort of vindicated with what we've said, but credit to Jim and Davey on this occasion. We're 2-0 down, he tried to change it, he's putting Jason up front, and, credit to him, we've got the reward for it.
Two things I think it's worth mentioning about this goal. Jason obviously scores it, but if you look back right at the very start of the move, Jason's actually taken a throw-in about 10 yards into the Dunfermline half, so he's taken the throw-in and it's just made a run right into the box. Nobody's picked him up, but he just keeps going, just runs in. Got that kind of instinct about him just to get into the box, but as we've said before, he's also got that kind of I'm going to take the bull by the horns kind of thing. I'm going to make something happen here. I'm going to try and change things a little bit. That's what Jason's all about, and that's what he's done there, just that simple run into the box.
It's also very difficult to mark as well, regardless of who you are. If you're taking a throw-in and you just make a beeline for the goal, nobody's got to pick you up. They'll all see you coming, but they'll all pass on to somebody else behind them. I think, was it Danny Strachan that got the initial ball, and then it was blocked, and then Jason followed in the shot. So, yeah, like you said, he's taken the throw-in, he started the move, but he's also been clever enough to go and follow it up, and they just admire the work that he's done to try and get his neck on the end of it, and he has.
That's actually the second thing, is what Danny's contribution to it as well, because he's held up the ball. I think he's taken out three defenders just with him shielding the ball and with a reverse pass into Jordan's path. But little things like that sometimes goes unnoticed, but it's worth mentioning just how big a contribution he had for that goal as well.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Whether he designed it to be like that is a different story, but see, 2-3 weeks ago, that would have been blocked and it would have been smothered and Dunfermline would have cleared it. So again, we've spoken about needing a break from time to time. I think that's probably a prime example of Jason's taking the throw, he's followed it in, and then Danny's looked a little bit of skill, he's played that reverse ball. He's going to try to take a shot on. I think that's key as well, because it's been quite easy in that position to try and take a shot, but there's three Dunfermline players on about him. Reverse ball into Jordan's path, and final place ended up with Jason being able to follow in and score.
And the good thing, once the ball went into the net, the keeper tries to obviously smother the ball. Good to see Danny ripping it out of the keeper's hands as well. It's something they probably didn't, a lot of folk probably didn't notice as well, but it's good to see Danny getting in amongst it and nipping up with only nonsense. And just like Jason and a few of the other boys, Danny's got the team's best interests at heart. He's obviously a Peterhead guy, Peterhead supporter, just wants to do well, but it's good to see that we're not lying down to these kind of guys.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, 2-1 doing that, the players feel that they can get something for the game. Maybe for the keeper's point of view, probably prefer Danny coming towards him than he would Jason Brown, because I wouldn't fancy a fight against Jason, to be fair, if he's in that sort of passion and sort of humour. So, no, delighted with the effort the guys put in, and as you said, they realised that there was still time to get something for the game.
And something from the game we didn't get, 2-2 free kick from Andy McDonald, deep, into injury time. McDonald's free kick from the edge of the dugout on the far side. And frustratingly, I guess, this is how good Andy McDonald can be on free kicks, because that's a fair distance he's hit. The free kick, he's absolutely bit onto a sixpence, found Hugh with a header, he's had a brilliant header back across the keeper, and found the far corner.
Yeah, like you said, that's what Andy's capable of. There's probably a few performances throughout the team that you just wonder, that's what they're capable of. You just want it on a more consistent basis, which probably makes things a more frustrating. Like you said, a brilliant ball in, especially coming for a long way, like you said, by the dugouts, and a fantastic header. Whether he's meant to put it in the back of the net or whether he's been aiming just to lump it back into the box, regardless, first senior goal as well, brilliant effort.
Yeah, talked earlier on about six guys in the box for the first goal. We end up in 7 or 8 this time. And so there was that desire there to get a, get a second goal, get an equaliser, try and get something out of the game. And we said earlier on, you know, that's how good they are. That's what they're capable of. But the desire and the want has obviously been there.
Yeah, I don't think we can question their desire to try and win. It's just sometimes the execution isn't quite worked out for one reason or another. But this is now, when you compare the performances of the last three games, so Kilty, Elgin, and then the game against Dunfermline, we've now set a benchmark of what not to do, i.e. Elgin, but what we are capable of doing. And I think that's what Jim and Davey might be trying to install in them. Like, this is what you're capable of. If you can do this away to Dunfermline at 2-0 Dune with 7-8 minutes to go, then got to go and turn up against other teams. No disrespect, the Clydes, the FC Edinburgh, Kilty, that's the teams that we really got to be beating. And I think if we put in the performance that we did against Dunfermline on a more consistent basis, I think we'll have a brighter end of the year than we've had to start the season with.
Another comment moment to touch on. Jason, on his way back to the halfway line, looked across the dugout and pointed to him, am I going back to defence or are we going to stay up front? Just you think, well, okay, we've got the point. Let's just see it out now.
Let's not be greedy.
A third goal might have been a bit of a stretch, but as we mentioned, that's now 4 points. It was six of the last two games. It's a step in the right direction. It is going the right way. I think it was during the week at some point when one of the media posts that they've been training actually together in Dundee for a couple of times this week rather than what they've been used to, you know, splitting them, the north and the south kind of guys. Has that made any difference, you think, in that 1 week?
I don't think it would do them any harm. Whether it makes a difference or not, I think we'll maybe see over the next couple of weeks. But I certainly think any opportunity, hey, don't get me wrong, guys have got work and logistical side of things. It's an absolute nightmare to try and arrange training sessions for everyone. But I certainly think when we can do it, it would be brilliant to see it happen more often. I think training separately, I can see the advantages depending on your location, but I also think it's got, you know, quite a few disadvantages. But, you know, they've done it twice. I think we mentioned it last week. We've seen in previous years Scott Brown would take the team together and almost like a team talk in training. And the fact that they're training twice together and then we get that performance and result on Saturday, then I think it's, you know, it's not a coincidence. I think there's got to be something in it. And you're just hoping that it can maybe happen there often. Also, I appreciate the logistical side of things. It's not easy. But when you see what we're capable of, and maybe just within two training sessions, it's certainly a bad thing.
There were so many new guys as well. It makes sense that you want to try and get them together as often as possible as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I don't think there's many disadvantages to, you know, them training all together. I think things can get lost in translation. It's okay maybe in WhatsApp groups and these sort of things. But I think when you're there and you've got all the players together, there can be an open conversation. You know, and anything tactical-wise that they're not sure, you've got potentially who be playing alongside with you, that you can sort of speak about it, you know, who comes, who goes, who stays, and that sort of thing. And, you know, it's little things, but it can give you quite a big advantage going into the games.
So we'll get your thoughts on the game then. Peter Bruce, he says, after last week's shambles, I was expecting Dunfermline to harm us, but well done, Jim, and the team for picking up an excellent point against the league leaders. 4 points out of six is a good return in the last two games. Let's forget about last week. And I guess that's a good sentiment, really. It's the Elgin game, let's forget about that. Let's put it out of our minds. Let's concentrate on, you know, the game before and the game after, where we've picked up 4 points out of the last six.
I think we can all agree the Elgin game, you know, you don't really want to be speaking about it. But on the flip side, I think there was a lot to take out from it. Obviously, there was a lot, there was nothing good. It was all bad. But if you can take that negative stuff and try and work on it and turn it into a positive, you know, had we not beaten Elgin, would the guys have trained twice within a week together and then come up against them for, who knows? It may have been pre-planned or not, I don't know. But yeah, I take that as sentiment. It's 4 points out of six in the league, but obviously it's sandwiched in between the game against Elgin. Weirdly, if people had said to you in your next three games prior to Kilty, you'll lose one, and he'll draw one and win one. I think a lot of people would have said, well, I'd rather lose against Elgin and do well in the league. So it's got its advantages, that Elgin performance. Not many, but yeah, we'll put it to bed now and then focus on the positives for the Dunfermline game.
George Buchan, very good point on the road. Hopefully this will give the team a boost and kick on from here. Petty Kelty won. Yeah, that was a bit of a kick in the teeth as well, seeing them, you know, winning or getting a winning goal so late on against Airdrie as well. Again, a result possibly near a lot of folk would have seen coming either.
No, but then on the positive side, for your side of things, is Kelty would have looked at us going away to Dunfermline, and then they've gone back into the dressing room and gone, oh, Peter, he's got something away to Dunfermline. So, you know, swings and roundabouts, but we just need to make sure we take care of our own business, and maybe a wee bit early in the season be worrying about other teams. But, yeah, like you said, Kelty getting something against Airdrie was not ideal.
Lee Esselman, cheeky point. I don't know if he's misspelled pint or if he's actually going on about a point, but a cheeky point. Look organised defensively, a good shape. A bit of toothless up front, but I left with a smile on my face. Yes, defensively we look pretty solid. We look much more organised. Toothless up front, you're missing Stillerson, Rusty, Adeyemi was out, Kazuka's out, Conor O'Keefe, may naturally a forward player, striker I should say, but he was out as well. So you're asking people who aren't naturally comfortable in those positions, so you would maybe expect that. But once these kind of players come back, it should help the team.
He may be a cheeky pint in the way up the road, based on that performance, and rightly so. Players maybe deserve one as well. Yeah, like you said, that better defensively, but yeah, we're still lacking something up top. But hopefully, when Rusty comes back, let's not pin our hopes on one player being able to change the, you know, our fortunes as such. But I think once Hazala has got a couple more games under his belt, we're impressed with him so far. To get Rusty back, Conor O'Keefe, I think he's been good. He's looked lively up front, maybe in his natural position, but he has certainly put himself about a bit. Then I think we'll look at a lot better than we are now. So I'd agree with the comment that we do look a wee bit toothless up front.
I agree, Matthew. Results like this one shows last week's even more worse. This is what we're capable of, and we keep up the standard. We should be away from an relegation fight. Equin, that's what we were saying. You know, the standards are there. We know what they're capable of. I know sometimes we get criticised for being too critical of the players or the team, but just because we know that they are capable of better.
Yeah, it's more frustration that creeps in, because we came for the players are capable of. We've got some, believe it or not, we've got some really good players in our squad. And Akin Jim has said in the past that once we get the players match fit and, you know, in the right position and raring to go. My only worry is we're now into October and we're still speaking about getting up to speed and getting raring to go. But let's not take anything away from the Dunfermline performance. It was good, and it's a platform, as Graham just said there in the comments, it's something for us to build on. And you're looking to do that in the upcoming games.
Okay, so the loan window ended on Friday, and we had a new player coming in. Michael Hewitt came in from Ayr United. Another midfielder / fullback, coming back from a lengthy injury, so he's looking to, much like last season we had, and I've forgotten his name already, for Hamilton.
Sean Blunt,
yes, come back of a lengthy injury. So he's looking to get some game time. As I said, come in on Saturday, did well, scored the equalising goal, his first goal. So all in all, it was a very good debut for him.
Yeah, aye, absolutely. He said he scored the equalising goal in the dying minutes. I think that's, again, it's one of them that Jim was speaking about being a win-win. We've got a good player in our hands, and he's also looking to gain that match fitness and build on it. Obviously, he's coming back from an injury. But, you know, it's one of them, the player will get better, and we'll get the good out of it. So you know, if that's what he's capable of, well, based on Saturday, then I think we've got a good player. And again, it's maybe one of them, it means we don't have to rush Andy McCarthy back as maybe as quick as we would have liked. You don't want to be throwing him in. He's also got an injury and they need a setback. So, you know, if we've got Hewitt in there as well that can help us out, then it's maybe a good thing that we don't have to rush Andy back.
Yeah, and coming out of that, then the news came out last week that both Andy McCarthy and Russell McLean were due to come back to training, which is obviously a huge boost for the team, for the squads, having them back after their lengthy injuries. I guess what is now key is we didn't, as you said, we didn't rush them back in, you know, try and then re-aggravate their injuries. But also, as you touched on earlier on, we didn't put too much pressure on either Andy McCarthy to turn performances around for the team single-handedly or Rusty to then start hitting the ground running and banging in the goal straight away.
Absolutely. I think the worst thing we can do now is try and rush them back. We've certainly got a squad big enough to be able to cope. I think you could risk them coming back again early and then they're out again for another month. As you said, you'll get to reactivate them injuries and it's only going to make things worse. So I think, I mean, they're basically going to have to do a pre-season. So Andy got injured in the Dundee game.
Yep.
Same one as Hamish. So I think that was the first or the second pre-season game. So, and Rusty's been out since last season. So I think they've a long way to go. It's brilliant that they're back in training, but I still think I wouldn't be expecting really to see them really featuring that much until probably start of November, because like I said, they've almost got a pre-season to go through.
But just having them around the team will be good, because you know they're both big characters, so they're both really well-liked guys, so just having them in and around the team again, and even maybe having Andy on the bench as a sub, screaming and shouting, might just help the team along a bit as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's never a bad thing, him, the quality of these guys coming back. It's frustrating that they've been injured. I'm sure they're chomping at the bit to get going. But hopefully it's not too long before they're back, but also we don't want to aggravate them injuries that they've got.
Moving on, it's a little something else we mentioned on our social media over the weekend, ticket pricings. You know, we were out at Dunfermline on Saturday, £20 for a League One game. It was pretty dire. And then obviously you look at the other games as well. We go to FC Edinburgh on Wednesday, £18 for that game on a Wednesday night. It is a little bit high. You've seen that the other prices are for some of the other grounds as well. It is a bit high for League One. I think Scottish ticketing prices as a whole is too high. I think it's something that needs to be looked at. What's kind of your take on, you know, the pricing and the lack of a structure, I guess, for tickets?
Well, like you said, I think the pricing through League One, in my opinion, is too high. We all were frustrated that we couldn't get in through COVID, and there was no fans, and you sort of took things for granted. I hope that the clubs have maybe looked at that and thought, well, we need to entice fans back, and we need to do something for it. And, you know, we're all aware, we've all seen the news in the last couple of months, things didn't look good in terms of your bills, and I think charging £18 to go away to Edinburgh on a Wednesday night, then I think it's great. But, you know, I think that there's Premiership clubs as well charging £30-odd for a game of football. But I think, you know, there's that social media group on Twitter, 20's Plenty, completely agreed, 20's Plenty in the Premier League, but it should be getting cheaper as you go down the divisions. And I think charging £18-£20 for a League One game, I think there was a League Two game as well. I've seen somebody comment that was also £20 to get into a League Two game. I think ticket pricing needs to be better. I think if you reduce the ticket prices and made it, you know, a standard £10 adult, £5 for a child or whatever across like League One and League Two, you get bigger crowds, better atmosphere. You know, they're going to spend things at the kiosk, or maybe going to go to the social club in the bar beforehand. So sometimes you need to take that small, I say a small hit, but just maybe look at things. We're also waiting to come into the winter as well. Money is tight for everyone. Are they going to go and spend £20 to watch a game of football that could be pretty dire? You know, I think these things sort of need looked into, to be honest.
Yeah, even if you say like £20, it's for easy counting, you've got one person coming in spending £20 on a ticket and then maybe going and buying a pie, which is maybe another couple of quid. If you could reduce that ticket price to £10, you might then get another two people coming in, and that's £30 that you've now got off of your ticket prices, ticket sales, instead of just £20. So you're already, you know, up on that. And as you said, once they're in, there are other avenues that they can spend the money on. It's all about making money. I know, I understand that. But as you said, if there was a structure, everybody was under the same umbrella, you knew what you were doing, you knew what your tickets was going to be throughout the season. As you said, the reduce the ticket prices, that will entice more people to come in, and therefore that would increase your crowds, and therefore increase your revenue.
And I'm all for, I understand every club's working in a business, and the majority of Scottish clubs lose money season after season. I get that. But without fans, there is no football. You know, and we've seen how much clubs struggled when COVID was here, or it was more prominent, that there was no crowds and they were making a loss because they had to open up to play football. I just think if there was a more, you know, widespread consensus that fans, you know, it's the same, okay, it's slightly different, there's more money in England, but, you know, some of the games that they'll make fans travel on a Monday night or a Sunday lunchtime. We've seen it in Scotland as well, that some of the kickoff times didn't help. But when you look at the ticket prices, that doesn't help either. And it's got to be attractive for you want to go to the football. And like I said, winter's coming in. Our folk really want to watch potentially a drab game of football. I think if you've got a game of football, it's £10. I think that's more, people will more accept it than if you're paying £20 plus to go to a game.
Yeah. You look at your family tickets then as well. That's obviously an option. I know Peter Hayde do. Under 12s getting free if they're getting accompanied by a paying adult, which is a good scheme, which is maybe something that other clubs might be looking at as well. But it's something we everybody I think needs to be talking about, needs to be discussing, especially now, as you said, with the way things are going. What will happen? End up happening? People will just stop going because they have to either decide, well, am I going to go to the football this weekend? Or do we need to spend that money on someone else?
Yeah, well, you've just almost nailed it there. I think one of the first things you would do when you're trying to maybe manage bills a bit better and what maybe some people are struggling with, football on a Saturday afternoon might be one of the first things to go. You know, you could save that £20, but you want to make it more enticing for folk to come. I'm not sure, I need to look into it, but I'm not sure how many clubs do like promotions. You know, completely different against a Premiership team, but Aberdeen have got that. If you you can pay for five games, but you get into six, and it's categorised. So there's that incentive. It's almost like a half-price season ticket or half-season ticket. Again, it's something different. It just maybe gets you more involved with the team. They send it Peter Hayden, clubs like that would be doing that sort of thing. But just something to maybe try and entice folk that maybe have also been for a while as well. They see the cost of living go up, your ticket prices is quite high. Yeah, I think overall there could be a wider scope to change things.
Okay, moving on then. As we said last week, Strictly is back. We asked you for your Strictly, Peter Hayden Strictly stars, who you thought might be good on Strictly, or as good as what Tony Adams was over the weekend. Still in it, I have to say as well. Voted to remain in, which is a good thing. A couple of guys that I, off the top of my head, was thinking of, I think Natty Potter would have been a good dancer back in the day. I said back in the day, he's still pretty.
He probably could do it now.
No, I say he's probably still lighting his feet, so he would be a pick. And just based on his muscle mass and how big he'd become, I would say Ben Armour might have been a good shout as well for you know.
Oh yeah,
all the flips and the turns and the lifts and things like that. He might be a good one for Strictly.
Hey, well, based on that, you can maybe get Rusty McLean. I thought if he managed to get a good frame.
He would need a full partner. I was
for his posture.
Nadia, she's pretty tall, so he could probably get her.
No, that's very true. I wonder if that's maybe why Rusty's out injured. He's maybe picking for Strictly.
Stephen Perry and Lee Essamond, they both picked Scott Tate. is somebody that I think would be a good one. Jason Argo, he went with Hefsala because he was quick feet. I think that's a good shout. Basically what we've seen so far. Gary Cameron, he went with Simon Ferry. No idea why.
Weirdly, I think that would be quite a good one. It would be interesting to see Simon quiet for 90 seconds.
He'd be leading the
professional.
That's it. And the last one here was Joe Proctor. He went for Joggy Samuel as well. There are loads that we could probably have come up with, and for various reasons, if they would be really good at it or really bad at it. As I said, it's a bit of fun. I did see one comment, I think it was Neil Thompson, had said that he wasn't going to get involved because he didn't want anybody involved with that kind of rubbish. Just a laugh, just a bit of fun. We're trying to just keep things engaged and get away from last week's horrendous result. That's all it was.
Let's not speak about last week's result. We'll put that to bed.
One other thing, last week was Balmoor 25th anniversary, 25 years since it was opened up in 1997. Loads of different things, obviously, we could talk about that. So that's something that we're going to look at next week. We're going to get your guys' favourite memories of Balmoor, favourite games, favourite results or moments. So we'll get that up next week as well. One thing I did completely forget about when I seen the old footage of the ground, was it East Arm, wasn't it, Bill? I don't know why in my head I just always thought the East Arm was there. Obviously it wasn't, it wasn't there for the first, it didn't get opened up until 2000. Mm-hmm. But I blanked out my memory that I just always remember that the East Arm was there, and clearly it wasn't.
It's the, when I seen the footage, it's actually the surrounding area of Balmoor, how much that's changed as well.
Yeah.
We've got the car park renovations and the football pitches to the side, and then obviously the East Arm going up as well. So there's been a fair few changes over the last 15-20 years.
And the hedges at the back of behind the goal as well.
I remember one time you used to be able to look through the hedges, now and there.
Right, so two games this week to look at. We'll quickly go through both. FC Edinburgh on a Wednesday night, as you said, £18 a ticket for a really horrendous view. So that should boost the crowd for that game. This could be just as tricky as any of the games this week. I include the Dunfermline game in that. They've now got three wins out of their last four, sitting second in the table. As I said, this could be potentially the more difficult of the three games.
Yeah, they've sort of caught me a wee bit by surprise, if I'm being honest. Even going into October, the league position that they're in, I generally thought they'd be doing, the bottom end of the table, so credit to them. But again, it's one of them sort of, you look at on paper and go, Edinburgh's favourite to win the game. I was quite worked out like that. But I certainly think the performance that we've put in and the way we got the result on Saturday, I think it will give us a lot more confidence going into that game than it would have been the week before.
Yeah, you said going through the or quietly going about things, and I think that's what's maybe happening, is a lot of folk are focusing on legs of Kelty, because they've come up along with Edinburgh, are focusing on Dunfermline, focusing on Falkirk, and they've just quietly gone about things, and they've now found themselves in second place in the league, and we shouldn't really be, I think you maybe said at the start of the season, you expect them to be in a mini league with us and Clyde down at the bottom, which obviously hasn't worked out that way, so, we should really be underestimating how difficult this game could potentially be.
Yeah, well, you've taken my word of underestimating. I probably did that when they got promoted. Maybe a few clubs have sort of teamed them a wee bit lightly, and that's why they've done so well. But taking that away from them, they're obviously a good side. I'll be honest, I haven't seen much of them, in fairness. But looking at their league position, how well they've gone by their results, they're a tough team to break down. So we're going to have to play well on Wednesday night. Whether Jim makes a few changes, whether Saturday sort of team them out, also we've got three games in a week, so I'd imagine there would be a few changes, but we've now got the squad that I feel we've got, you know, we've got quite a few players, so it's now time for Jim to change it for the better, and, you know, and give players a chance if they need it. But yeah, I think we say most week there's not an easy game in this division, and win tonight will prove that another difficult game.
Yeah, Dixon went off towards the end of that Trump game. Might suggest be the catalyst and say, well, we've got a game on Wednesday, let's not, you know, risk him, and then maybe play him again on the following Saturday. So maybe there are potential for changes there.
Yeah, I certainly think that, as you said, we've got three games in a week. I'd be surprised if there's some players that are on the fringe that then I get a start or get a good run out. I think this is sort of the time of the campaign when you do get, I say, a backlog of games. If you get postponements and you've got to play three games in a week, that you've got to use your squad. You can't just rely on the same guys, or then that's when injuries and that crop up. So, yeah, it'll be a difficult game, but I think there could be maybe two or three changes in the starting 11.
And then Saturday's game, we're back in Balmore again for Falkirk. This time are the visitors. Again, Falkirk have been in the last two or three seasons just decking what to expect with Falkirk. You know, we look at the results. You know, we're actually unbeaten in the last three against them at home. But away from home, obviously, that's slightly different. And I think, again, this is a game where we might put in a bit of a shift and maybe even surprise them again and come away with at least a draw.
Yeah, I think I'm more confident going into the game against Falkirk than I am Edinburgh. I think Edinburgh is going to be a really tough game. But like you said, we're forming against Falkirk at home is okay. It's actually decent. It's on the road that we seem to struggle a bit. I think we've got more chance against Falkirk than we do Edinburgh. But again, you kind of then start writing off games and just say, oh, well, I think we'll get beat because before you came to the season's finished and you've lost half your games. I think going to the game on Saturday, I'll be more confident of that one turning up than I would be going away to Edinburgh.
And I think there, if you're going to talk about inconsistency or lack of consistency, I think Falkirk would be one of that kind of teams because in the previous game, they came into that game having drawn 0-0 with Montrose, gotten beat 4-0 by Airdrie. Then they beat us 3-1. They then won three in a row and haven't won since, or only won one in the next three. So, you know, so they're very up and down. It's just a case of, you know, can we catch them in the right frame of mind? Can we then put in a performance like we did this past Saturday? Frustrate them again. I think, you know, they probably will have a lot of the ball. But if we can reduce them to what we did in the Dunfermline game, just long shots and aimless crosses, then we'll do well.
I think you mentioned Falkirk's form there. I think that's why it's so important that if you can put a run together of 3-4 wins in this division, it makes such a big difference. But again, on the flip side, you lose 3 or 4 like we have done this season, then you're going to struggle. I think, like I said, I think we've got more chance against Falkirk. I just think that we're general play at home. If you can sort of take the Celtic performance, okay, we're doing the 10 men and we sort of held on, played okay in parts of it, but take the character for Saturday's game and merge it with the Celtic performance, I think we'll do okay. It's not kind of our chickens and say we're definitely going to win or anything, but like I said, I think we've got a better chance at home against Falkirk based on their inconsistency as well when we do go away to Edinburgh.
And keeping somebody honest and quiet will obviously help. I mean, he's the kind of main man for the goal, so if we can keep him very relatively quiet, I think we'll do well and we'll get someone out of the game.
I think if you stop him, but also stop the supply going into him. So again, that's maybe one of them where you put Ryan Strachan just sitting in front, putting Jason Brown on him as well. I think if you close down that avenue, we'll have a better chance of getting the 3 points.
I think what we'll see is. A fairly decent Falkirk support coming up. Traditionally, they seem to do that. So, what I would like to see is on the home side of things, I'd like to see, you know, getting a few more bodies in as well and try and lift the team as much as they can because we felt as though that, you know, sometimes we're not being outnumbered, but you just think we are being outnumbered in some occasions. So I would just like to see as many folk coming through the turnstiles on Saturday as they can.
It's a weird one because based on we've served up the last couple of months combined with what we've just said about ticket prices, it makes it difficult to try and get folk through the gate. I completely get where you're coming from. I think the Mayor fans that you've got, and we mentioned it the other week, the lads behind the goal as well make a really good noise and good atmosphere. To get a few Mayor through the door, brilliant, but obviously the way the world is going and everything, I can understand why some folk are just sort of sitting at home and thinking, well, you came for it, I'm going to get a goal. But no, the performance on Saturday, it might just give a few folk thinking, well, yeah, actually, I might go to the game this weekend. So, yeah, hopefully we get a few more through the door, but it's a difficult balance of, you know, wanting the fans to turn up there, but also balance it with the cost and the performances that's been served up.
Okay, so it is now time to get a Falkirk perspective. I'm now joined by John McAnally of the Falkirk Daft podcast. John, how are you? I was about to call you Jim there just now. Sorry about that. I bet you probably get that quite a lot. How are you? How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks, Colin. I'm good, thanks. I actually think I'm distantly related to Jim McAnally. I'm pretty sure when I got the family tree out, Jim is on it somewhere. So, you know, shares a great name, you know, obviously, the McAnally name. And he's obviously the longest-serving manager in SPFL, isn't he?
Aye, approaching 11 years now. So, yeah, it's quite an achievement.
Aye, he's done a great job at Peterhead, but obviously you're struggling a wee bit this season.
Yeah, let's get got into that. Let's talk about you then, how you guys are struggling to get out of League One.
Fourth
season now in League One. We could talk, I guess, endlessly about the stuff behind the scenes, but on the field this season then, how is it going?
Big improvement. I mean, we've had the last few seasons have been absolutely shocking, to say the least. You know, I think when COVID disrupted the season and obviously gave Wraith, and we were only 1 point off the top at that point, and we had the momentum, I think we would probably have went up that season. But obviously that got in our way. Then last season was just a complete and utter disaster. But this season has seen a marked improvement in the side after John McGuinn took over. The style of play on the field, the players, the recruitment he's brought in, it's been night and day, absolute night and day. You can see how tight that league is at the moment. You know, we're 1 point off the top now. And you can just see that all closed up. You know, there's a bit of a guess down the bottom. There's a bit of a gap starting to form there for you guys. But we've been great this season, Colin. I can't say any more about, you know, John McGuinn. We've had a couple of blips. You know, we got beat off Airdrie 4-0. We got beat off Kelty away as well. But our home performance has been excellent. And we just need to get on a run now, because I think in this league, if you can get on a run and put results together, you've got a very good chance of winning it, you know, because at the moment, it seems that it's just up and down. I mean, you see some freak results. I mean, Edinburgh pumping Airdrie a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, obviously, I have to say thank you very much, by the way, to Peterhead at the weekend. 2-0 down and then two goals in the last 5 minutes. I couldn't believe it. I switched. I was like, oh, God, that's Todorov scored 2-0 to Dunfermline. And then unbelievable stuff. Unbelievable. So thank you very much to Peterhead.
Oh, we try our best. I mean, we shouldn't be giving a team such a big start before we start turning up, like. But you know, it was probably our best result so far this season. I know it was only a draw, but it was a hell of a result, especially so late on as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But you guys have obviously been kind of a bit up and down. You know, it's one win and two draws so far, isn't it?
Aye, I think probably same for you guys as well. It's all about consistency, isn't it? Just aye. As you said, just hitting the ground running and getting going, because I think the previous the game the two was played, I think you came back off the back of a 0-0 against Montrose, a 4-0 against Airdrie, and I think when we spoke previously, you were kind of a bit down and down. I wasn't sure how this one was going to go, and then you get the 3-1 win and that sort of kicks on, but then you've kind of slowed up again a little bit, but you've got back to back wins again.
Yeah, well, it was a draw at Dunfermline, and then we've got back to back ones. We obviously beat Thistle in the cup, and that result there at the weekend, which, you know, we were out the gates flying against Clyde. Two early goals from the captain, Stephen McGinn, who's been a massive difference on that side, made absolutely huge. I think arguably the best player in this division, Stephen McGinn. He should not be playing at this level. He's unbelievable. But yeah, it was a hard ground out. The second half was a bit pedestrian. We seem to have just got the two goals and slipped into third gear from that point. But, you know, 2-0 win against Clyde, which has been one of our bogey teams, take that any day of the week. And looking forward to Saturday now.
You're coming up to the Balmoor, somewhere that maybe haven't had the best of results recently. I think there's no wins in the last three. So what are you expecting from this one on Saturday?
We've got to win, I'll be honest with you, Colin. We need to keep this, like I was saying, going back to momentum, keep that momentum going. We're looking to put together a run of results up to the next game against Inferno, which is on November the 5th. So we've got a few tricky away ties, and, you know, going up to your place is always a tough away ground, just because of the travel that they've got to do. You know, it's hard conditions up there. I'm hoping we can get a result there on Saturday, and like I say, put that run of results together and get a win.
We were talking about crowds and ticket prices and things like that. There's really quite a debate recently, or certainly this past weekend, about away tickets.
St Johnson was at £28 for an adult to get in there at the weekend.
It just seems to be ridiculous. What kind of crowd are you then expecting to be taken up to Balmoor on Saturday?
Falkirk, you know, probably... Certainly the best away attendance in the league, but Dunfermline probably argue against that as well. But I think we'll take a good few hundred up there on Saturday. We've everywhere we've went this season, we've always taken a decent, you know, 500 plus. So I think we'll hopefully bring that up to Peterhead on Saturday, and you know, back the Bairns.
Colin Morrison, is he still the sort of main man? Is he the guy to be looking out for?
Aye, Callum Morrison is in a rich vein of form. We've talked about it in our podcast. He was vet start season. His decision making can sometimes be questionable, but he certainly is in good form. Two centre halves, I have to say, Liam Henderson has come back into side after injury. And at first you were like, oh, but he's really hit a stride now. So I think you're going to have to work hard to get past our defence. Liam McCann has been excellent this season. He's keeping Sean Mackey out the side. In midfield, we're really strong. Stephen McGinn, like I said, is an absolute Rolls Royce. You know, very rarely gives away the ball. Always looking up, always got his head up, always on the spin. He's been great this season. And up front, we've had a real find in Romain Burrell, who's come in the last couple of weeks, got our Player of the Month this month. He's shown up really well in the last few games, full of pace. He'll give a lot. He gave the Peter Grant and Brian McLean an absolute headache on Saturday there. So I would suspect he'll give your centre half a right good game. Plays on the shoulder, you know, looks for balls in behind, real pace, real trouble. You know, and it's complemented by what we've got coming on. Kai Kennedy came on there, who we've got on loan from Rangers this season. He came on. I wouldn't be surprised if he started on Saturday. He came on, did very, very well. Should have had a couple of goals. So yeah, I mean, this is the best squad we've had in a long, long time. We've got depth. When you look at the bench and what we're bringing off the bench there on Saturday, when we brought on Juan Alegria, who again has been really good for us this season, his hold-up play especially. So there's options all over the park now. It's options that we didn't have in previous seasons. And I think, you know, Callum is just one of the players that will cause you problems, I think, on Saturday.
And is Ryan Williamson still doing the Cafu impressions then, after the last game?
Ryan's been injured, unfortunately, for the last wee while. We don't know what the situation is there, but I mean, the Cafu-esque goal in the last game was unbelievable. Goal of the season for us so far. So I don't think he'll be available for selection on Saturday. Hopefully he is, and hopefully he can be Cafu again.
Okay, just final then, what's your score prediction going to be then?
I've got nothing but a win, Colin, I'm afraid. Nothing but a win. I think I'll take away a 1-0 up at your park, because it is, like I say, it's a difficult place to visit. So if we scrape away a wee 1-0, I'd be quite happy with that. I know you know. I mean, form, obviously, a draw in the last two games, this is the best form you've had this season. So yeah. you'll be looking, I guess, from a Peterhead point of view to keep that going. But we, like I say, we need to, if we want to win this league, and like you say, you point out quite rightly, you've been down here for three seasons for a club of Falkirk's size, financially, you know, there was an email sent out to the supporters last week. And we're actually speaking to the directors on our podcast this week to find out how dire the financial situation is. But, yeah, we need to get out of this league. You know, if we want to stay a full-time club, you know, we need to get out of this league. And, you know, it's a horrible thing to say. We are who we are for a very good reason. But, you know, we're a big club, as are Dunfermline. You know, it's going to be a right, I think, fight between the two of us to try and get out of this league, because both clubs need to, from a financial perspective, get out of this league. And look, I mean, Dunfermline have a bit of a sugar daddy in the German owners, but we don't have that, so we just need to get out of this league and you know, look to the championship and look to the future.
Okay, John, pleasure to have you on. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate your time. Hopefully, at some point again, we'll catch up, and hopefully we'll have more good memories and good things to talk about as the season goes on.
No worries. Well, thanks for having us on, Colin. Really appreciate that.
That is it for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it. Thank you once again to John McAnally from the Falkirk Daft podcast for coming on, and to Martin Smith for being here as always. Thank you for listening. I've been Colin Byers. We'll be back again next week. So until then, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon.